The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Hi again, everybody. Thanks for jumping on in. We have a different type of show today, one of the shows that I like with summer now here. And there's some things I do want to talk about in the sports world. But, you know, the entertainment in sports is part of what we do. It's what we're about. It's things within the community, of course. Doesn't matter if it's high school, college, or pro. But there's times where I'll read a book or I'll see a guest, and it's like Michael Wilbon's going to be with us today. Of course, Michael's terrific on Pardon the Interruption, and with the ABC and ESPN package that he is a part of. He's a part-time Valley resident, has lived in Washington, D.C. for many years, so he can give a lens on some things basketball-related. But off the court, he's just finished the book with Chris Paul. And the book is tremendous. I have read it front to back. I asked Michael to come on. We taped something earlier. You will see that. And I did ask him about Bradley Beal, having seen him in Washington through the years, and the trade of Chris Paul. And if the Suns are better, I was somewhat eyebrow raised by his response. I will just tease it at that. The book is the priority, and we will get into that with Michael Wilbon. And then I found the Stephen Curry, because that's how they title him, not Steph, Stephen Curry documentary that is going to be on Apple TV in July, like it's July 21st. And I've seen it, and it is so good. It is so good. And so I found the executive producer and the director of it to explain why, and they pull the curtain back. There's some clips in there that there's going to be a lot of buzz around this. And it comes out on July 21st. So Michael Wilbon on his book with Chris Paul, and then about the Suns, and then the director and producer on the Steph Curry Apple Plus doc. Opening comments are brought to you, as always, by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. We started this in 2011. We're into our 12th year, coming up on 13 in September. We appreciate your support. Our television show is on Bally Sports Arizona, and we have partnerships all over the place. We are self-funded, so support those that you're about to see or hear, including Desert Financial Credit Union, because that's how we've done it all these years. It's great not being tied to a local TV or local radio. It's just great to be able to go do our thing and do it really well with our team. The Diamondback bullpen last night, I do want to start there. You know, there's going to be games that you burp it up. And last night was one of those. The problem is, the way that the National League is playing out, and I still think the Padres are going to get it figured out, even though they're just awful right now. Manny Machado finally went off on them. I don't think St. Louis is going to get back into the race. So there's a couple teams that are hanging around trying to figure it out. We saw the Phillies start to figure it out when they came into Phoenix. You know, the Dodgers are kind of circling the drain, but every time you turn around, they bring up another young arm and they're just hanging around. You have the Giants out of the clear blue sky. I bring this up because last night the Diamondbacks had a tremendous starting pitching effort from Zach Davies. 7 strong innings. He's not been good at all. And with Merrill Kelly going on the injured list, and we've talked about how the back end of the rotation has really been a concern. Tommy Henry's been better, but outside of Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, it's not a rotation I look at and say, boy, do I feel really good that this is sustainable. So last night, the Dodgers lost, the Giants lost, the Padres lost, Diamondbacks lead 2-0, they're in the top of the ninth, and the bullpen blows a 2-0 lead, and they lose 3-2. And this may be one of those games. Maybe one of those games, because it's going to all bunch up. Right? And I don't know how tight. I don't know if they're going to start squeaking as they walk, as we like to say. Because, yeah, it's now just the end of June. But here they are atop the National League West. And when you blow games like last night, and you have to, if you're a fan of the team, you have to be encouraged that they had such a great start out of Zach Davies. Can they parlay that into the next, into the next, into the next? But I feel like it's going to bunch up before it's all said and done. Like the wild cards, if you look at the wild cards in the wild card race, Miami, I don't think they're going away. Young team like the Diamondbacks, the Giants and the Dodgers. Giants Dodgers are going to chase the Diamondbacks. I think it's fortunate that we are now in this new era of baseball where you don't play the same teams within your division over and over and over. I don't like watching, the Rays in town. Great team. Don't know them. Rather see the Dodgers for three more. But you know what? This is the new schedule. I'm not going to sit here and whine about it. They don't play the Dodgers again until August. Usually you see them about three times a year here and three times a year in Los Angeles. And maybe this is a good thing. Maybe it'll make that series much more anticipated. I'm already looking ahead to August. So we can even talk about it, right? So it's one of those games last night you want to just flush it, put it behind you. They finish up with the Rays today. J.J. Watt is going to go into the broadcast booth. This should not come as any shock in any way, shape, or form. You know, J.J. was outgoing and gregarious when he was available to be outgoing and gregarious. And, you know, if you want to get him on a show, you have to go through 20 layers of things. And so now he's going to be out there for all the world to see and do his job. And I'm sure that he is going to be in a position. Being at CBS, when they do a game in Houston, and Houston's not going to be good, doesn't matter. There's going to be people, oh, it's J.J. Watt. Like here in Arizona, we're not going to be good this year. I say we, not lovingly. It's just they aren't going to be good. So if JJ's doing a Cardinal game, is he going to bring out the hammer? Is it going to be kind of, it's really not that bad. Well, okay. So that's what I want to hear. I don't want analysts that are just sitting here placating. I don't like that. I don't like the whole, you can't be that critical. I think that's what makes guys like Michael Wilbon, who's going to be on with his book, and Chris Paul in a few minutes, more credible. When things are good, they're good. When things are bad, they're bad. It's not that hard. So when you have a player that leaves the field, goes into the booth, how do they feel when they start to say, you know, he's really not that good, or he's got to make that play? Tom Brady's going to go through the same thing. Microscope will be very big on Tom Brady, of course. But the same should be said for J.J. Watt. Anytime a former player just wants to waltz on into the booth and think it's easy, I can't tell you how many former players that have done that, that end up calling me or others and saying, hey, man, I don't want to do this. I can't handle it. It looks all great on the outside, and then you get on the inside. Last night, I saw Raiders, the new Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, they have these DJs that come to these screenings. It was a private screening last night up at Scottsdale. Very nice theater. If you're going to go see Raiders, go see it in IMAX. But this DJ is saying Indiana Jones is going to be on the screen tonight. Indiana Jones. No, it's Indiana Jones. So different era. Like if I took my kids were young, not the youngest one is closing in on 20 and he's seen all the Raiders. If I took them to see this as the very first Indiana Jones, no, you need to go see the original and go see it all the way through. I mean, it's fine. My wife was telling me afterwards, because there's some moments that were like, really? This is where we're going to go? You're going to do a whole scene so you can build it on the attraction because it is a Disney film. You can update the Indiana Jones ride. That's what we're doing here. That's what's happening here. It's going to happen. So there are some moments where it was, and it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. That's long. I'm not old. Not old to go to movies. I sat through Mission Impossible the other night. 2 hours and 40 minutes. And there's another one of those. It's a part, I saw part one. There's part two still. It's not out yet, but. Anyways, I don't know if the expectation is when you go to a movie, you can't just be there for 95 minutes. Hour and 45 minutes, my little rant here. But in the last 2 days, I've spent, what would it be? Over 5 hours of my life watching two movies. And if I were to say which one is better than the other, they both have their audiences, of course. They're both huge brands. They're going to make gobs of money. Gobs of money. I thought Raiders started out strong. And I thought by the end it was, this is where we're going. This is where Indy is going to end up. So I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything along those lines. All right, Michael Wilbon is coming up next. His new book on Chris Paul that he's put together with Chris that is tremendous. We will get into that. And then the Stephen Curry documentary that is coming up on Apple TV next month. I am Brad Sussmat, back with Michael Wilbon. How did this book come to be?
Well, it's not a memoir. It's a story. It's Chris's, one of his favorite stories. He's a great storyteller. One of his favorite stories. And there's sadness to it because it's about his grandfather, his beloved grandfather, who lost his life at 61 years old. And there are a couple of things that the number 61 becomes important, starting with his grandfather's age and Chris scoring 61 points in an important high school game in his life, really the most important one probably, as his father, as his grandfather was losing his life in a murder with a very complicated case. But it's really an ode, you know, it's tribute to his grandfather all these years later, and teaches us a lot about when people mourn and how they mourn, and you don't need to do it in a certain time, and everybody does it in their own way. Right. And Chris wanted to pay tribute. This has nothing to do with the season. It has nothing to do with getting traded. It has nothing to do with going to the finals 2 years ago. It's Chris Paul, great storyteller, telling a story that's very much worth investing in. And he asked me years ago, he started talking about it and thinking about it to help him shape it. And that's what I do. This is not my story. This is Chris's story. I am honored that he asked me to help facilitate it. And that's what I did.
As you're going through this, I mean, it's life lessons from Papa, and I don't want to give away the book. People need to read the book. But as he's pulling the onion back, did you have any idea of the depth that you would be walking into in being a part of this project?
Not exactly. And I say not exactly in that I had hints. I've known Chris a long time. I've known Chris more than half his life since he was 18 years old. And so he and his brother CJ, who are just two of my favorite people having nothing to do with sports. And I know their story and their family. And I knew parts of the story of their grandfather because it played out in real time in the news. Right. I did not live in North Carolina, so I did not follow it on a daily basis, but I knew parts of it. And of course, as you peel back, and that's exactly the phrase that would describe the process, you realize what he meant to Chris and CJ, to their whole family, and what family means to them. And so, no, I didn't know that yet. You know, I think many of us, one of the great lessons here is most of us have someone like this in our family. Mm. I know I did. I had an uncle who was very much like Chris's grandfather. And we talked about that in our meetings, in our sessions, to just talk about what led to this storytelling. My uncle owned a grocery store on the south side of Chicago. And going there for me as a young boy and a teenager was very much like Chris going to the gas station that his grandfather owned. Very, 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 very much. And so, yes, I got the depth of it. And I think that that was sort of a connection that we have in addition to having nothing to do with basketball and me right. covering the NBA all these years and me knowing Chris. I think that connection had a lot to do with my affection for this story.
Were there moments where you had to say, look, this has got to be in the book? Or because sometimes books will be keep this out, and this, especially the death of Papa, was very graphic and very moving, emotionally moving as I was reading it. And were there those moments?
No, there weren't. I'm very lucky in as a somebody who used to be and maybe occasionally still is, in that there are two times, there are only two people I've edited their books. They both times they said, hey, we want you involved in this. Those two people are Charles Barkley and Chris Paul. Mm. And people know Charles is a great storyteller, and there's a certain way that Charles can tell any story, and most of it involves his own brand of humor. People don't associate that. They don't know Chris quite as well yet as a public figure. Chris is every bit the storyteller Charles is. And I say that, again, gratefully, as someone who was involved in the telling of two books with Charles that I edited, and now one with Chris. And no, I didn't have to say, oh, yeah, we got, let me convince you to use this. No.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, the day before, and part of this, we started these conversations during COVID. So some of this is on Zoom, even though both of us might have been in Arizona. And the day that I wanted to really get into the murder and the details of his grandfather, I thought I was going to have to convince him of some of it, and I had to convince him of nothing. He understood that to tell this story properly and to give it the proper treatment that he wanted to, not me, he, that it was going to all have to be out there to be consumed. It's very hard. It's very emotional, but he held it together. I'm sure on the inside, maybe not, but I was fascinated by that. I was amazed by it, to be honest.
You know, the book is called 61 Life Lessons from Papa On and Off the Court. Chris Paul with Michael Wilbon. Michael joins us here for a couple of minutes. It is out and definitely something that you will not be able to put down on your summer reads. Skip Prosser. I'm going to throw a couple of names at you there in the book. Skip Prosser. What did Skip Prosser mean to Chris Paul?
Well, all of the people who were in that sort of coaching lineage meant something. And at Wake, you know, it's coming of age. And so that part of it might not be particularly different if you're talking about any player and the influences and the influences outside family. And, you know, when you play basketball this long, this well, at this level, as Chris had, you're coached. It's interesting because now I will hear iconic players, some of the most famous ones ever, complain to me, so-and-so is not coachable. And Chris loves coaching, loves good coaching. I always ask him, you know, and during this process, I'm like, you got to coach. And he goes, no, I don't have to coach. But the coaches in his life who had great influence, you know, I mean, they're akin to family members,
right?
Father, grandfather, and uncles. And Skip is certainly in that line of people that had great influence and that Chris reveres.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you saw the NBA GM survey that had Chris as the most likely to be a head coach someday.
I did not see that. It does not surprise me.
Yeah. It was last season, and I brought it up on my show. And, of course, when Monty left, it was, is this the time? But then, of course, the deal happened. His mom coached him in a YMCA team in eighth grade. I thought that was cool. And that's about as far as I'm going to go into the book, other than to say, you need to buy it, because there's all these great stories that Michael was able to get from Chris. And I hate doing book interviews and giving away the whole book and people saying, well, I don't need to go get it now.
I don't need to read it now. I'm glad. It's a good tease you just did, a professional job of teasing. So I appreciate that. And I think I can speak for Chris and say he would appreciate it too.
When the trade happened, let's move over to that. What did you think?
I was annoyed because I liked Chris being here. I mean, I'm in Arizona a big chunk of my life now.
Yep.
Certainly since he was traded here, even a bigger chunk during the pandemic and my family spending more time in Arizona than ever. And Chris being here, me able to go down to see him, take my son. My son's a young basketball player, a year older than Chris's son. He's a point guard in high school now, and I know who I want him to see as a role model from a basketball sense and from a personal sense. There are people I don't want, and there are people I do, and Chris Paul's somebody I do. And so Matthew's been able to sit in on a few sessions in his life with Chris. And I loved that. I loved it. I wanted him to be the person who got the Suns all the way through, and he got him damn close.
Yeah.
And so I'm annoyed. I'm glad he wound up with Golden State. I'm really happy he wound up with Golden State if he's not going to be here with the Suns. So
some people think he's not going to stay at Golden State. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but I'd find that hard to believe. What do you make out of Bradley Beal? You've seen Bradley Beal, I'm sure, through the years. What do you think of this mixture now with the Suns adding Bradley Beal, Michael?
Yeah. My primary home's in a place called Washington, D.C. I've seen a lot of Bradley Beal since the beginning. He's a terrific talent and a terrific player. And from all I know, easy to get along with. Seems like he'll be a perfect fit with Book and KD and whoever else is on the roster. It's interesting. I don't see Devin Booker or Bradley Beal as a traditional point guard. I'm old. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to basketball. I like a Chris Paul running my team. You know, I'm somebody who believes in that. But I also know that, you know, the Chicago Bulls, the great teams that are my favorite teams of my life, being a native Chicagoan, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen weren't traditional point guards, but they held down the fort, didn't they? They got the job done more times than not. And so I'm looking at this in a non-traditional way and like, okay, can these guys exist in this form? Who's going to organize the team? Who's going to be that person taking charge? Who can you count on late in games? All of those things that we assign to traditional point guards like Chris Paul, can Bradley Beal and Devin Booker do that? And Kevin Durant. So I'm interested to see it. You know, I'm interested to see it. Bradley Beal can score 30 points a game. You got three guys on the court who can score 90 in a game. But what does it mean? Is there enough there? Is there enough there? Is it the right mix? Are they going to share and not take turns? There's some teams with great players that just take turns. That's not going to win a championship. And I think that with Devin, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant, you've got guys who are just great teammates. And that's the starting point for any sort of great team. But do you have enough there for them to get that next step further? They got to go through Denver. Everything goes through Denver.
Right.
Well, the Suns took Denver further than anybody last year. They got two games off them. Minnesota only got one. The Lakers got none. And the Celtics got one. The Suns played the Nuggets tougher than anybody last year. But can they take that a step further?
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time. And again, the book is out, 61 Life Lessons from Papa On and Off the Court, Chris Paul, with the great Michael Wilbon. We appreciate your time,
thank
Michael.
You. Thank you. Hey, thank
right
you.
Back
got,
at you, right?
I got a copy wherever I go as well. Much appreciated. Thank you for having me.
And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, welcome back. So I was given a screener to Stephen Curry, Underrated. And you're thinking, Steph Curry's underrated? Well, you have to see the documentary, and it's coming out next month. We love documentaries here. Claudia Collins is working on hers that we will release at the end of July. I'm not going to tease what it is as of yet. She needs to finish it up. But we love doing docs and deep dives. And so I caught up with Peter Nix and Sean Harvey on Stephen Curry, Underrated. This is tremendous. It comes out on Apple TV Plus on July 21st.
Looks like a little kid.
150 pounds, soaking wet.
That was when I first really understood. I'm different.
Getting the title Underrated, if either one of you could address where that came from, because I've got a lot of, you know, are you guys picking on Steph Curry? And it's absolutely not true at all, any way, shape, or form. I think it's just showing where Davidson came, and there was a lot of not belief around those outside of Steph Curry's circle that he could get to this point. If you could just talk about the title.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's not just a story about Stephen Curry. It's also a story about Davidson College, this tiny college that nobody had ever heard of that he was able to put on the map, you know, in 2008. And it's also sort of a reflection of, you know, Ryan and I's work in Oakland, telling the story of the city that is much, a lot of times, maligned or misunderstood, stereotyped, that this is a universal idea. But it is true, the more we learned actually about his story, the fact that he truly is, when you look at his origin story, not being recruited by any D1 colleges, despite being the son of an NBA superstar, Del Curry, Virginia Tech didn't even offer him a scholarship, that he did actually have to overcome quite a bit of doubt, not just in his high school career and his college career, but also in his professional career. And going back to that, how is he underrated? I mean, all you got to do is go back and look at what he just looked like. You know, coming out of college, you look like, you know, people baby-faced or a kid. I mean, truly, like when he was a freshman at Davidson, he looked like he was in middle school, you know. So it was, and then seeing that footage of him as a young, sort of unpretentious kid prior to his start and prior to, you know, everything that he's accomplished now was really, really poignant.
Access was a big part of this, you know, a documentary where you show the family, you show the kids. Okay, I've seen that. You guys go a lot deeper than that. And you have behind the scenes of him the night after, the evening right after he sets the 3-point mark, and you open with that. So it's gripping right off the top.
We were with him at that game. That party started about 1 a.m. We had been on the road because we didn't know if he was going to break in Indiana.
We were tracking it. Like, where is he going to break
it? We were all up and down the East Coast with him. And then finally, obviously, at the Garden, it happens.
That's what makes documentaries so beautiful and frustrating, because you don't know what's going to happen. But sometimes when those things click in, it's just like, oh, man, it's almost like preordained.
Yeah, we didn't want to jam a bunch of celebrities in, so it was nice that there was that organic connection at the 3-point at that game. And then we went and did the Reggie interview, which was obviously opens the film. And, you know, he just has, Reggie was great. I mean, he's just such a pleasure to work with. Also, he's one of Steph's favorite players, if not his favorite player.
Yeah, it works narratively. And we didn't want, like, the model for a lot of these celebrity docs is to sort of, like, you know, stockpile a bunch of famous people bearing witness to the subject of the documentary's greatness. And, you know, it's tempting to do that because you can put them in the trailer and you can use it to help sell the film. But we wanted to make sure, you know, sort of our background isn't celebrity. You know, it's documenting the community of Oakland.
Documentary comes out on July 21st, Apple TV Plus, Stephen Curry Underrated. The cooperation from Steph on going back to school, how did that come to be?
He wanted to get his degree at that time to show his kids, you know, the importance of education in his life, but also because he made a promise to his mother when he left Davidson to ultimately finish his degree one day. And so it was always sort of part of the conversation.
Yeah, she was the first in her family to go to college, and she talked about sort of raising, you know, basically having kids in college, and despite that, still graduating because of how important it was, you know, to her parents, and that really became something that we knew we were going to follow. We didn't know if he was going to be able to do it, and it looked a little dicey,
right,
for many months during filming because he's so busy, and then as they started actually moving toward being able to compete for another championship, we didn't think it was going to happen at all.
Last question, you know, outside of Stephen Curry, who you're focused this doc on, who's the character that fans are going to watch and say, I shouldn't say character, the person that fans are going to really gravitate towards and say, this person that you guys, as you were filming, I really like dealing with this one person, how they're coming through on this. Is there one?
Definitely Coach McKillop, like Rose as a strong secondary character, supporting character, but also in some ways the community of Davidson itself emerged as a character. And Jay Rich, his partner on that team, kind of symbolized that. But it was really surprising, especially, you know, for us, you don't see in the film, but it sort of comes out in a way, I hope, is the spirit of that community and of that town. And we spent a lot of time with them, talking to them about remembering the run, and, you know, how did they feel about it, and how did it make them feel, because it allowed them to be seen, mm-hmm. you know, for the first time. And that was part of something that we wanted to articulate in the movie.
So again, it's on Apple TV Plus, July 21st, Underrated. Gentlemen, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.